On today's episode of Junkin' with Jenny, we talk about how we built a trundle bed and how you can make it work for your space. How to hide seams in faux wood beams using a realistic faux beam strap. Creative ideas for an empty space with a fireplace. Plus, who's calling, please? We give ideas on how to repurpose an antique phone. All that and more on today's episode of Junkin' with Jenny. Here we are.
Yep.
Welcome to another episode of Junkin' with Jenny. Lots of stuff on today's show, as you can see. We've been busy.
We have been busy.
Been doing a lot of stuff around the is casa the correct term? You know, people. I've never been one to use like slang terms for my home. Should I start doing that?
That's not really slang. That's the Spanish word for home.
Well, I know, but if you're not Spanish or you're not in a Spanish speaking country. It becomes somewhat of a slang term. If you were in a Spanish-speaking country, would they try and be smartasses and be like speaking in Spanish and then say in my home, and just throw like interchangeably use it? How some people in an English-speaking country will suddenly think they're being really sophisticated by throwing a different word.
I think if somebody in Mexico met you on the street, they'd try and mess with you.
Well, people just try and mess with me no matter what.
Just because you're somebody that I would try and mess with.
I don't know what that means.
Just you look like a good person to mess with.
What? What does that mean?
No, I'm just the way you joke around a lot. It'd be fun.
I like to mess with people, but I don't know that I get messed with very often.
Oh,
but...
I think you'd get messed with. You'd be trying to ask a silly question, and they'd be like.
You mean like if I ask this question? This is okay. I think people are just gonna like come up to me and start messing with me.
No. If you met somebody on the street in Mexico and you started talking to them, I think very quickly they'd make the decision
if I was
to
mess
with you.
Just trying to ask these questions of someone. I see what you're saying. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I would. I would too to someone else, just because I enjoy messing with people.
That's all I meant.
I thought you were like, well, you know, you don't have much hair. You kind of look like a target to be messed with. And
no, has nothing to do with your hair.
Everything goes back to not having hair.
No.
It's a major insecurity. We were just in the room just before the show, and they had the hair commercial on about...
Do we name the name?
No, we don't name the name. But it was one of those companies that restore hair. And I always joke about, like, someday I'm going to do that, and I'm going to, like, be Michael Bolton hair from the early 90s, you know, where he's, like, on a cliff singing, said I loved you, but I lied, and just a big mane.
Yeah. So.
But your observation on it was that a lot of the guys who do that, you think overdo it on the hair.
At least the ones they had on the commercial, it's kind of like, now they've got hair, they kind of overdo the hairstyle. Like, they either grow it really long, or... This one guy had it like standing up straight, like 4 or 5 inches. And it's
sure.
Okay, we get it. You have hair. Great. Mm-hmm. Blend in.
He really wants people to know that he has hair, though. That's the thing. I think it's one of those things where if you lose your hair and then you get it back, it's almost something where you want to... I don't know, maybe do things with your hair that you were too afraid to when you had it, and then suddenly one day it just goes away. It happens.
Should we talk about things I can fix? I can't fix your hair. I can't. So let's talk about other stuff.
On a very special Junkin' with Jenny.
On a very special Junkin' with Jenny means you're going to die. Anytime a very special episode of some show.
I don't know if she's threatening me
that's like... No, it's just whenever they used to...
It means someone's going to die in the episode is what you mean.
Exactly.
You gotta...
I'm not going to kill you, nor do I think I'm... Never mind.
It needs the context to it, because you're just like in a very special junkie with Jenny. Tony, you're going to die.
No, he's not going anywhere.
You heard it here first. Well, we have a
like transitioning alcohol right now.
Transitioning.
Yes.
This is Malby. We're doing Michigan wines. Malby.
You're having trouble speaking when you did the Facebook Live sign-in thing. Like Tony and Jenna, you said it like Forrest Gump. Like I haven't heard that.
I was doing text to voice.
I've heard that my whole life, and you did it.
I was not intentionally doing that. I was trying to do it because when you do the text to voice, if you want it to be accurate and not have to go back and like retype it and correct a bunch of words, you have to speak slowly. And you also have to speak like Tom Hanks in Forrest Gump. That's the only way it takes the text.
So
that's a big pro tip that everyone is learning right now. Speak like Forrest Gump into Siri or whatever your text-to-voice thing is.
Y'all try that. Let me know how it works. Let me know. It did say Jenny correctly and spelled Jenny correctly, but it
will be
Jenny.
It will be extremely effective, just so you're aware. So
on with our juices.
Our creative juice this week from El Mabi, up in Michigan. We're doing Michigan wines this month on the show. And these guys, really cool place. I can pull up their little graphic there. ElMabi.com. You can see all of their different wines. It is, you know, if you're just going to say it, I mean, it's like champagne, but it's not from, you know, champagne. It's an American sparkling wine. It's Michigan's sparkling wine. And I've been getting wine from these guys for 15 years, mm-hmm. I think, right around there. You've been there.
Yeah, it's very pretty.
I took you to the vineyard there a couple years ago. And beautiful vineyard. They've now filled it out. They filled out like all their land now with vines. And it's been many, many years in the process. All different varieties of sparkling wines, and they do them in different styles as well. They do kind of the classic style where it's actually aged in the bottle. They do another style where it's not, but you really can get anything you want. It's not your... You can certainly get sweeter ones, but this is not your just typical, oh, it's going to be a sweet tourist bubbly wine or something like that. These are really, really quality sparkling wine. So I have not yet opened this. Most of the wines before the show, I do in fact open.
There's a lot of windows in here.
A lot of windows. There's antique dishes over there.
Your chances of hitting that are slim to none. So I'm not worried about that. I'm worried about the windows.
This is kind of like, like a ride at Disney where you shoot the gun at something, except we're in Jenny's office.
Yeah.
And where should I aim it?
I don't know.
I can just hold on to it as well. That is an option.
Will it hurt your hand when it
pops off? I might
off?
Lose a finger. I could possibly lose a finger or a fingernail.
We'll see if the hair people can fix that too for you.
And I always check the edge of the bottle right here when you open a champagne.
You've got a story for that one.
I have a scar for that one. It's on this finger right here. You can't really see it very well. I won't. It's not scar sharing time on Junkin' with Jenny. But I twisted a champagne bottle years ago. There was a little chip in it right there, just ever so slightly. And I just twisted it, and it twisted right into my finger.
And you ruined the champagne for everybody.
Well, no, it just bled down the bottle.
Oh, it kinda, yeah, it just bled down the bottle.
Kind of like a Maker's Mark bottle.
No.
For a little while. And I went to the bathroom, but it was like bleeding horribly. The worst part, I mean, I didn't even notice it for a moment. It was not bleeding down the bottle. It took a moment for, I think, it to really kind of gush. But... also, I'm like, my hand feels weird. It was one of those, like, it cuts so deep you don't even feel the darn thing. I'm like, oh my God. So I went to the bathroom and I started, like, wrapping it in toilet paper. This is at a restaurant bar thing. And I feel bad for whoever went into that stall next because it looked like I murdered someone. It really did. It's a good thing there was no like murders that night in that area, because anyone who came in there would have been like, well, I saw a guy come out of there. It was really bloody.
The thing is, they test it and they realize you were actually the murder victim.
Exactly. That would be the confusing part of the whole thing. And it would end up being like a Netflix miniseries. But no, I can get it off. Watch. Here we go. See? Look at that.
And you didn't break anything.
Yay. I didn't break anything.
Okay.
So there you go. Glass, please. And these are not champagne flutes, obviously.
No. I've broken so many glasses, we're down to the ones we have. And that is this one and that one.
See, it is slightly bubbly.
It is very bubbly.
Look at those bubbles.
Pretty.
Isn't that pretty? So, check out their stuff. That's their website.
If you're in one of the lucky parts of the country where they ship to, definitely worth getting for like, if you like bubbly on a regular basis, or certainly for a special occasion. Very good stuff that we are having here tonight. This is one of their classic ones. It's from the Leelanau Peninsula. This is just their Cremant Classic. So one of their kind of original types. So
I like it.
Yeah?
I like it a lot. It's not super sweet, which I don't like super sweet.
Here's the reason why you have a champagne flute. Because when you stick your nose in the glass of bubbly,
it
goes right up your nose.
And I'm
trying
to be all cool here, like, I'm not going to have the fizzy in my nose.
I had the fizzy in my nose. That's why there's different shaped glasses for different types of wine.
I know.
Let the fizz calm down for a second. I actually made a little drop on the desk there when I went up. I was kind of laughing at what you were saying and having fizz going in my nose at the same time. Can I use my sleeve?
Yeah.
Well, no one can see it on camera. That's just us.
Well, I know, but I don't want a watermark on my desk.
Okay. I do respect wood.
You don't.
So, there you go.
Okay.
Do check them out. Good stuff. Link is on our website at junkinwithjenny.com on today's episode's page. Let's talk about trundles. This is a term I didn't even know what the hell it meant until a couple weeks ago.
Uh-huh.
I was like... You're like, oh, we're going to build a trundle. And you meant you and Livy.
It sounds like something from an old English fairy tale. That's a trundle that came down the path.
Is this like Swiss Family Robinson?
No.
Are we like doing like an outside like room in a tree?
No.
With the squirrels? Can they wear sweaters? But no, a trundle is actually, why don't you describe it since you're the one who came up with the idea of doing it in our home.
It's a bed that discreetly hides underneath another bed, mm-hmm. without being a bunk bed. We're not talking about space for two people to sleep stacked. This mm-hmm. pulls out when you need it. And
yeah.
somebody basically has a mattress there. It's elevated off the floor a little bit.
Yeah.
But it's great for sleepovers. It's great if somebody comes to visit and one of the kids has to give up their room and go sleep with the other kid in the other room.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of thing.
Yeah, it gives you a lot of space mm-hmm. For another bed.
And we have little girls, one of which is entering the age of having sleepovers and girl mm-hmm. parties. And so she decided, I mentioned it to her, and she wanted to use some of her Christmas money and learn how to do this. So we turned it into a real educational project as far as drawing it out and planning it and pricing how much the whole project costs and mm-hmm. building it. And start to finish, she was involved every step of the way.
So it's really cool. You kind of got to mm-hmm. do the project with her.
Yeah.
And how did it go? How did the process of creating it go? And we'll show the video and the step-by-step of kind of mm-hmm. how it went in just a minute.
But you mean like just...
Me
and Liv?
Yeah, just the process of her kind of first time really working on a project with Mom.
Mm-hmm.
Not just kind of watching and then going and playing, but actually being there for the whole thing.
She did great. The thing that was the problem was I kept forgetting this is her first project. I'm so used mm-hmm. to doing projects with you. You've gotten where you can kind of read my mind and see what I'm going to do. But I had to explain everything
sure.
in a way that she could understand without any knowledge of doing home projects outside of what she sees us do.
So was it like me the first time I worked on projects with you?
It was.
Where...
She asked a lot of really good questions.
Did you throw anything at her like
no,
you did with
I
me?
I never threw anything at you. I would get mad at you because I was like, how have you gotten to be this age and you don't know how to read a tape measure? But I got to where I had to figure out how to put it in terms she understood. So it was just more of a effort on my part to do that. But I was hoping to ignite that spark of interest in doing things and seeing how you can create something to solve a problem.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't really a problem anyway, but it was just how can we build something without just running out and buying it?
Mm-hmm.
And I think we accomplished that, and she really was excited to do that and looking at more projects too.
Good, good. What's the next thing she wants to work on? Does she have something yet?
Well, we've painted one of her vanities, but mm-hmm. or not vanities, but her nightstands, and now she wants to paint her dresser. And
sure.
she's picked out the knobs and, you know, teaching her techniques on how to do that kind of stuff.
Like the chalk paint? Or what did
chalk
you do?
Chalk paint, but we clear coat it as okay. well, just to make sure it's durable.
Okay. Well, here is the start to finish, the look on the trundle bed project. We'll run through it and chat maybe a little bit more about it once it's done. This is the process from start to finish. So check it out.
Our kids like to have sleepovers, but that, as you know, can be difficult with limited space. So our oldest suggested we build a trundle bed. Easy to do. You just need to make sure, first of all, you have the space underneath the existing bed to fit a trundle. If you don't, well, some bed risers can come to the rescue like they did for us. Once you have that taken care of, you need a mattress. Just measure, make sure you get one that will fit correctly underneath your bed. Then measure that out for the trundle itself and the frame of the trundle. Start out with a nice big old piece of wood here you can pick up at the hardware store. Frame it in just like this. Very easy to do, no odd angles, just screw it in securely, and then add some casters to the bottom. You know, the wheelie type that you used to roll around in gym class on the boards with, except it's like a giant version of that. Then get your mattress into the actual casing, the trundle itself. Make sure it fits, make sure it all lines up well. And on top of that, then you can finish it off the way you'd like. We added one more board to finish off the front of it, put some handles on there, painted it nice and pretty to fit the room. And there you have it. That is a DIY trundle. Very easy to use, very easy to slide out, and then the kids can have sleepovers pretty much whenever they want. For more ideas, more tips, more advice on DIY projects, visit junkinwithjenny.com or subscribe to our podcast anywhere podcasts are available.
It'd be really kind of fun to do bad lip reading right there on Harper's mouth as Libby was getting into the bed with her, because I could just see all these horrible things that are being like, get the riff out of this bed, this is my bed, you know.
I'm not sure that it would be worse than what she would say anyway.
That's the thing, it's like, this is not even lip reading, this is just translate. This is what she's saying. Mm-hmm.
That might tone it down if we did bad lip reading on them.
That's true.
But they've had a couple of sister sleepovers now, and mm-hmm. they've gone well. And
survived.
You know, I keep getting asked every day when a friend can come home from school, and it's mm-hmm. like, okay, at some point.
Sure.
I don't like giggles at 3 a.m., but we'll do it.
Earplugs.
Yeah.
I've never tried them, but I know they make like white noise headphones. Mm-hmm. Like a lot of people use them on airplanes and things like that, just cancel out noise. And even if you don't want to listen to something, it will just cancel things out. Hmm. You could sit in the bedroom all night with headphones on, giant headphones. Do you ever think that was going to come back? Giant headphones? You know, forever we were on this path of like minimizing everything. Everything was getting smaller. It went all the way down to the earbuds. And then all of a sudden, it didn't even like slowly revert back to like just like the headphones of the 90s. You know, they were smaller, but they just went over your ears. It just went back to like ginormous stereo headphones.
Yeah.
What the hell?
Everything comes around again. It just does.
Mm. Same with the cell phones too. I mean, cell phones for a while, it was like on that track, there was jokes even like, someday it'll be like the size of a pen or like a chiclet, you know, and then all of a sudden, boom, with the smartphone, you need a screen. You need it to be big.
Your phone's the size of a small iPad.
You're right. It is.
And so you have no room to talk on that. It looks like you're a toddler holding their mommy's phone when you use that thing.
I like to pretend I am.
Okay.
It's kind of a comfort thing. The thing is, our parents obviously didn't have cell phones, but maybe it will be a comfort thing to somebody.
Go to any restaurant anywhere, there's a toddler using their mom's cell phone just so she can eat.
That's true.
So you'll see it.
I just feel so good playing Angry Birds while eating chicken nuggets. It's my happy place. Somebody at 35 in several years from now, that's exactly what they'll be saying. So that's the trundle project. Really, it was easy to do. It took less than a day. You know, and really not in any odd cuts or anything.
It
just
No, it was all straight cuts. And there was, you know, the one last board mm-hmm. Livy insisted upon. I was fine with it just showing that there was a mattress, a trundle under there. She wanted to add that last face board mm-hmm. that she wanted it to look like a drawer under there.
Sure.
And we mounted the handles to that. And I'm glad she pushed me to go get that last board, because it really finished it off perfectly and seamlessly from the bottom of her bed frame to the floor.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, oh, I don't know. We may have to angle it in, because she's got those angled bed raisers that I thought maybe we'd have to cut around, you know, so it didn't hit that. But no, it just worked perfect. She was tickled, And we painted it pink, of course.
It is. I would paint it pink if I had a choice. I totally would.
You could paint it anything if it's a little boy's room.
What I want is the just like the trundle, just the frame, just to roll around in the basement. Like a giant, you know, thing like you would have used.
I want the scooter boards from PE.
This is like a giant scooter board. I mean, a trundle really could be used for that with the right casters on it.
It'd be dangerous, but you could pretend it's a boat and like, you know,
row your way around.
Row your way around the basement.
I totally would do that. Mm-hmm. That's if I had a trundle, I would never have used it as a bed. My parents have been like, "You can't be doing it." I would just be riding it down the hills, go down the stairs with it. You know, all sorts of horrible things that would be very dangerous. But it does look fun. Rebecca says, "Love the necklace. Who made it?"
My necklace. It's actually two very long strands of random beads from Versona.
I made it by hand earlier in the day.
I just doubled them up. So there's two of them doubled up. So it looks like, you know, four.
I bead during the day. And that was just something.
It's one thing I know how to do, but you don't. I know how to make beaded jewelry, but I don't do it.
I know how to make beaded jewelry, but you don't. You know what? I did make beaded jewelry when I was a kid. Because I was an only child and I was home with my mom most of the time. And she had this little box of beads. And so she liked to pretend I was a girl sometimes and would dress me up in dresses. And we'd watch I Love Lucy. And she would get fish string and then a needle and say, "Here, put the beads on this. Make mommy a necklace."
Fishing line?
"I'm going to call you Tony with an I."
Fish
and
string
yeah,
is?
I know. Fishing line.
Okay.
You know, like the...
Yeah. I know what it is.
Yeah. But what weight? That's the question. You need
is probably enough to hold a sturgeon or something like
probably,
that.
Probably. Yeah. No, but I remember doing some of that. And I would like... I was so horrible at it, though. I would always like poke my finger with a needle and shit. I was just trying to be a nice kid. And like, "I'm going to make my mom a necklace."
With fishing line, why were you using a needle?
I don't know.
It's stiff enough to...
I know. There's a lot of questions I have about my childhood and why we did things the way we did. But I remember doing that. And, you know, like you need to like fill out the whatever, if it's a string, a line, whatever. You typically don't use fishing line to make a necklace, but we did. I could get to the point of maybe getting like four beads on there.
And then you're bored and you're out the door.
These are like tiny, tiny.
Yeah.
It wasn't even like that size. They were like just super tiny beads. Like if you were to actually make the necklace, you'd probably put like 400 of them mm-hmm. on. And I did like four.
Mm-hmm.
And they just kind of hung there and the rest is fishing line. I'm like, "Here you go. Here's your necklace."
That's
bored.
That's a real ta-da gift. Ta-da.
Ta-da. So there you go. That's my jewelry making experience. Just thought I would share. Now you're aware. Just in case you ever say, "Tony, make me a necklace."
Yeah, I'll keep that in mind.
Just in case. Yeah. Our next, should we talk about the beam strap next? Should we go to that?
If you want to, or we can talk about what to do with it item.
Let's do a what to do with item, and then we'll go to our other project that we're going to show you today, the beam strap. How about this? This is an interesting one. How about this giant fence?
It's a cattle guard gate.
What you're seeing here on screen is exactly what you said, a cattle guard gate. It's mm-hmm. exactly what I was going to say.
It is not. You didn't know what it was. It's like this metal fence thing.
Big metal fence thing. This is how I describe things.
Uh-huh.
But that's what it is. It's metal, it's rusty, it's big, and it's sitting on someone's lot, and they don't know really what to do with it. So what do you think could be done with such an item, inside or outside?
Well, I like it because I like the rustiness of it with the little bit of the paint peeling off, and I don't know what kind of tool it would take because I don't know how thick that metal is, but I would cut it down into like almost 8-foot lengths and I would use it as maybe a stacked either wainscoting or wall treatment of some sort
mm-hmm.
and, you know, screw that into the wall and you'd have this very textured, you know, wouldn't be very tall because you would probably get maybe 4 feet high out of that.
Mm-hmm.
But you could do an accent wall with the pieces of metal like that.
Yeah, you certainly could, and that's
certainly
could, and that's really what I was going to suggest as well.
I'm glad you didn't shirt the certainly.
You certainly could.
Okay.
Certainly could. I was still puckering up because the champagne or the sparkling wine, it's here's the thing. If you know your sparkling wines or champagnes, really, really good ones, super dry, they almost make you kind of pucker up. This is that. This just really makes you pucker up in a good way. It's just, it's dry. It's great. It's just one of those that you drink and like, yeah. And then you try and talk immediately after and you say things like, certainly. So.
You said certainly, but
be great in better. a really formal meeting or something, or a formal dinner or a first date. Like, you certainly look great tonight, Jenny.
Jenny.
Is that how it was said?
That's how you said it. Just okay. Like Forrest.
I like the idea on this thing of doing just that, kind of dismantling it and using it as a plank shiplappy type thing.
And this gate, for those who are listening and can't see it right now, it looks like it's twice as wide as your standard gate.
Yeah.
So you could probably get two sets of maybe 8 foot lengths. It's probably, I don't know, maybe it's like a 12 foot gate, so maybe not quite that much. But if it's a 16 foot, you could get two sets out of that.
Yeah. You know, another thought I had on it was, I mean, it really depends on the decor of your home and what kind of feel you have going on in it. My other thought on it was mounting it a little bit recessed from the wall. And this would be a pretty darn big one, but if you have like a big family room or a big living room with a giant couch and you have a lot of people, it could be a great kind of blanket holder. You kind of roll them over it. And you could get a ton of them on there. We put all of ours into baskets, but I could see, I mean, almost in the same way that you do it with, like with a ladder. This would be a joint ginormous one, but something of that nature where you could still almost keep it intact, but use it as a different purpose, much like I said, like the ladder type approach.
Right.
So anything else?
No, that's all I've got.
No, that's all I got on that one too. I think it'd be it would be fun. I think so. That would really be a neat thing, especially with the plank way of doing it, because I think you have a lot of people going in and seeing it, going, "What the hell is that?"
Yeah.
And they'd recognize the pieces, but won't be able to place exactly what it is. And then you explain what it is, like, "Oh, okay."
Right.
So when you're driving down a country road and you see one of these things, now go knock on the farmhouse door and say, "Can I have your gate?"
And they'll say, "No, my cows will get out."
Exactly. But so, it's worth asking. Don't just take it.
It's not worth asking.
don't just take it. That's my. Did I ever tell you the cow out story? The cows roaming the field. This isn't my story. This is my parents' story.
No.
When they were newly married, they were living out in the country, in the farmlands, and one night, I believe. Some local cows got loose, which happens out in the country. And they woke up to Bossy sticking her head and like knocking on the bedroom window.
Oh, God.
and then they looked and all these cows are like roaming around their front yard, just kind of grazing.
Yeah.
And it was just some, you know, some farm down the road that got loose. So my dad went out and he grew up in the area. So he knows all the farmers and all that. He, you know, he's one of the kind of the farm kids around, you know. So he went out and, you know, helped and they got him all rounded up and all that. But that would be quite a sight to see.
That would be. Having that'd be startling.
Bossy right there. Just, "Hi, how are you? You want some milk?"
I'm sure she said that.
No, they went out and milked her. And then they milked her and they had some breakfast and then they brought the cows back. I'm kidding. That did not happen like that. But the cows were loose. Okay, let's talk about beams. And we talked about our beams before.
Yes.
But we haven't talked about how we hid the what would the word be?
I call it the seam. You could say the joint. It's
the joint.
We had to make
where they butt up.
Yeah, we had to make this. It was a 16 foot long header that we wrapped, and we wrapped it to make it look like a beam, and I did not want to deal with trying to get a full 16 foot piece up, so I broke it into common length boards, which are 8 foot long, and so I had a half inch gap between the two sets, and I knew exactly what to do the whole time. It was never a, oh God, what am I going to do? It was more of a, I get to do this kind of thing because I wanted to try a product. And we ordered this through Home Depot, and you know, they're not paying for this. We actually bought it, but it's a Superior Buildings product. It's a rubber beam strapping. And you can get different widths and different lengths. This one is, they're, I think, 2 1/4 inch or maybe 3 1/4 inch. I'm not sure.
There's all difference for whatever project you're doing.
Right. However long you need to do multiple wraps or however wide to cover a joint. So I went with the beefy one because I just was going to have just the one wrap in the middle of where these two met.
Sure.
So got it. It's rubber, so it's very easy to work with. You can cut it with scissors. I tacked the one side and wrapped it around and figured where I needed to cut, and then I cut the other side. And then, you know, I just used a hammer and some finish nails to hold it in.
And it turned out great. I mean, and it really, it looks like a metal strap that would have been around a beam.
It looks like hammered iron that has rivets and... you know, you if you touch it, obviously you're going to know it's not real.
Sure. But the good thing is it's way high.
Yeah,
you never touch it.
Nobody's going to climb up there and be like, oh, yeah, fake beam wrap here.
Yeah.
Nobody's going to call you out on
fake
that.
Fake beam wrap police. If you have friends like that, get rid of them.
Yeah.
Right
Nobody
away.
Needs friends like that.
But on top of that, you even aged it. And we'll talk about that in just a second. Here's the video we put together that shows you how this project was done. Check it out. These are our faux beams that we've been working on, and they turn out really good, but inevitably, when you're doing a large faux beam, you're gonna have essentially a seam. How do you hide that seam? Well, Jenny has the answer to that.
So this is a rubber beam strap, and it's for faux beams for this exact purpose, and what we're going to do is wrap it and use scissors to cut off the excess. It's meant to look like an iron strap. It's got the faux rivets and everything. And I'm going to probably do a little bit of faux finish on it to where it looks like it's starting to rust. Okay, this is the iron paint by Modern Masters Metal Effects. And once you paint this on, you let it dry completely. Then you use the rust activator to interact with the paint, and it actually causes real rust to occur where you've painted.
There you go. On top of that, you did the rusting to it.
I did. And I love that Modern Masters line of the metal effects. You can make anything look metal and either rust it or make it look like copper and put a verdigris on it. This, I had the rust paint left over from the chandelier project that we talked about earlier. So I just put a little bit on there just to look like it's starting to rust around the, you know, the rivet heads and on the edges.
Sure.
And it's just enough to kind of make you think, is it real or not? You know, I figured I'd go ahead and use what I had. I love that stuff, but I will say that iron paint smells like poo. It just, it's the iron in it that just...
It wasn't the paint that day.
No, it is. You have to be aware that when you open that jar, it's like your husband had 4 burritos.
7-layer burritos is what it was.
So,
and it wasn't 4.
Just be aware, but it does a great job. It really does.
It was the first time we ever tried it on rubber as well.
Yeah, I wasn't real sure if it was going to work or not. And I think it was, you know, just enough that it wasn't super heavy. And I'm not worried about it potentially eating through the rubber. I don't even know if that's possible. I don't know that it's going to do that.
I don't think it will.
No, but you never know with chemical reactions what may break down rubber.
Or may make some sort of horrible poison into our home that that smells like poo and kills us all.
Yeah.
All for the sake of a beam strap. What happened to that family? Well, they made a beam strap look rusty. The dangers. And then they'll suddenly be, the next week on NBC, it'll be like, Are you aware of the dangers of fake rust on rubber beam straps? They can kill your family. It happened to one in Missouri. I'm Rob Lowe. Boo doo doo doo.
That's the more you know.
That's how it's gonna go. The more you know. Rubber beam strap with fake rust kills family. Headline right there.
Got a nose fill there.
There'll be a tweet there. It'll be rubber beam strap with rust kills family. Sad. That's how it will go.
Move on.
Tweet. Let's go to this item over here. Look at this. I love this thing.
I do too.
The funny thing is, I don't think a lot of people realize, this is an old phone what we're looking at on camera.
It's a rotary phone.
It is an old rotary phone, and it even has the phone number in the middle, and that's the funny part is I don't think people realize that's a phone number because it's only 5 digits. Did you realize?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's how they used to be. Not all that long ago. Even, like, I didn't realize how, I mean, because we were born in the 80s, but it wasn't that for much prior that they actually added some digits to phone numbers. Mm-hmm. You know, it's one of those things you grew up, this is how it is. You don't realize it's like, oh, that's a new invention. But that's on there. It's kind of advanced. Somebody even rigged this up to have a hold switch on something like this. So that's pretty cool. This is obviously, I'm thinking, probably an office phone of some sort. Uh-huh.
And you can tell it's the old label makers where mm-hmm. you had to dial the letter and dial the letter and squeeze.
That's the graphics that we use on all of your show.
I love those.
So many of those things. Because I used to play with those so often. And my dad's office when I was a kid, he had one of those. It was like an orange one. You had to dial it and squeeze and dial it. And it's like you said.
And you had to know what you were doing. There was no backspace.
No.
Like the label makers now. You had to spell it right and spell it right the first time.
And I couldn't spell worth shit back then, and I still can't today. but I would like make labels, and I'd print them out. And then he'd be like, you're wasting. Those are expensive. And I would, you didn't even spell it right. I was like, I'm six. Yeah. But I loved playing with it, but then he would hide it on me. But those were fun. but anyway, this old telephone, it looks like it's still got the cord and everything on it. I'm sure, I don't know if it works if you have a phone jack. It may still work. It may not. I don't know. But probably not exactly something you're going to go back and would rotary even work anymore? It probably depends on your phone company.
I don't know for sure because I can't remember the last time I used one of those.
I know, like, some phone companies several years back said rotary does not work anymore. You need at least the tones to get this to for our system to function because it's digital and all that. Anyway, in lieu of not reusing this as an actual phone, what would you do with it?
It took me a while to figure out what I would do with this one. But first thing, I would have to cut the cords off. Completely detach the handset from the base. And, you know, the base is designed to hold things. Mm-hmm. So my thought was maybe if I could somehow affix the handset upright attached to the back of the base, you could set a cookbook or an iPad in that cradle and it would lean against the back of the handset and it would be a cookbook holder or a iPad holder. Do you see it?
I think you'd need, did I miss something in your explanation of, would you put a higher back on it? So
I would use the handrest.
Oh, I see what you're
saying.
The handset,
and I would attach it to the base.
Okay.
And that's going to be what's going to hold whatever, either book or iPad from falling backwards.
I see what you're saying. Yeah, I do see that.
I don't know exactly how I would affix the handrest to, or the handset to the base, but I'm sure an L bracket or something like that.
Sure.
Could be done, and you know, just mainly to make it to where this the whatever doesn't topple out of that cradle.
I like that idea. I think that'd be cool. My idea for this is really a simple one, but it's something that I have running through my mind a lot now with all of the new devices that are coming into our lives with the Alexa. And if you're into the Amazon stuff, or Google has theirs now, and I think there's another version of it with some, I don't know, somebody else has something. Google and Amazon seem to be the two big in-home speak out loud, get something done devices. But the dots, or the tiny ones, the Google ones, I would use it as a dot holder.
Okay.
And I love the, I mean, the dots, they don't look bad. We are a dot family now. We have dots all over. The girls got some for Christmas, so they can just speak out loud and have their music play. It's the Jetsons is how I view it. And it's just normal life for them, but it's like, holy shit, this is the Jetsons.
But you should see the grocery list after you give kids access to that.
We're getting penguin meat.
There's lots of puppies and kittens added to the shopping list on a regular basis.
Yeah. It's an interesting thing.
It's fun.
But I would use it as that because you kind of try and find places to put them. Yours is just sitting over there on the ledge, and it looks fine and all that. But I like to be able to kind of disguise things a little bit and put them into interesting spaces. And a lot of times those dots are hooked into a Bluetooth speaker somewhere else anyhow, just for better sound quality. So as long as it can hear you, I would try it. I would just kind of hollow it out, get it in there, see how well it can hear me. And do whatever sort of hollowing I need to do. It may be a matter of just drilling a couple holes into the thing, in the number pad area. Something where it's going to be fairly discreet.
Okay, so that's not at all how I thought you were going to go with this. I thought maybe you were going to say you were going to somehow attach it to the rotary dial.
Oh, that'd be an interesting idea.
And then it looks like a phone sitting there, but the dot is sitting attached to where the rotary dial is.
You know? I want to say the dot's probably too big for that, but it could probably work. If you could get it to affix somehow.
Double-sided tape works wonders because those are not heavy.
They're not. And then the cord would look like the phone cord almost. Yeah. You do it on the receiver and the microphone end of it. Mm-hmm. I could see that. Thank you for adding that and making my idea so much better.
Well, I just figured you got a round thing and an obvious round thing. Let's try and match those up.
I was thinking just hollowing it out and putting it in there like you do, like a Bluetooth speaker and an old radio.
I just don't know that it's going to hear you.
And that's why I'm saying have to do some drilling, some adjusting to see how it picks you up. You'd be surprised though; those things can pick you up disturbingly well sometimes. I mean, I'll say something in one room and all of a sudden I hear the reply on the opposite room, and the room I'm in didn't hear me, and it's it's kind of bizarre. But that would be what I would do with something of that nature for this old phone. Now I'm going to be looking for one at an antique store, because I'd like to attempt to do that. Let's go to our next. Let's go to a space. We've been doing a lot of items. Actually, we have two spaces here today. Inside or outside, Jenny?
Outside.
You got this. This is the house they just bought. And they want to know, what on earth do you do with this? It kind of looks like a McDonald's.
Let's describe this house for our listeners.
Red tin roof.
Red metal tin roof. The brick, I don't know if it's supposed to be cream, but it is very, very yellow.
Yeah, like yellowish with like little slight cream accents to it. Mm-hmm. And then suddenly by one window, which may have been like an addition area of the house, I'm not sure, it's suddenly black and white. And the pillar that is by the entryway that I believe is also brick, also is kind of the black and white brick. That is by one of the windows as a bizarre accent.
The addition part that you're talking about, they enclosed the garage.
Oh, it was a garage. Look at that. I see the...
It was a garage. They used a different stone to accent that. So when you're looking at the exterior of a home, usually you're talking a very expensive prospect there. The thing that's most expensive here to change is the thing that I would probably try and work with in the design, which is going to be that metal roof. The metal roof looks to be in great shape, but obviously I'm not a roofing expert, but those seem to hold up very, very well. And yes, it's red. It's not everybody's first choice in color, but I think we can make it work if we don't have yellow brick. Otherwise, you're right. It's a McDonald's house.
Would you put like some golden arches on the house to make it work? Like maybe and do retro-ish?
No. I think the only thing I would possibly do, if you go cream on this brick, the cream is going to get a pink cast because of the red. I think you have to paint the brick white. And that's the only real way to cover it. That or a very dark gray like the stone. But I'm still thinking white's your safer bet on the brick. The shutters, I think, are fine. I think they would still work fine. And then you've got to add some more greenery. it looks like there's no landscaping. It's sod, but there's no landscaping. And some of that green's going to kind of soften the overall harshness of the house. Mm-hmm. Now, where the brick, where the stone covers up where the garage door was, I would try and maybe add shutters to that just to match the other windows. But, you know, that can be an accent space with the white brick. Because mm-hmm. red and gray and white and black all kind of go together. Red and yellow, you're looking at ketchup and mustard.
Justice says, looks like a Canadian pizza from the early 90s.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
I can see that.
I don't want to be too mean, but...
I do.
No. I think we can fix it. But obviously, when the roof gives out and you need to get a new roof, don't go bright red like that. And your white brick will work with whatever color you do go with, whether it be brown or gray or black or, mm-hmm. you know, some of those roofs in our areas now that like four different colors all kind of mm-hmm. peppered in. And just wait it out, but work with it while you can, because those roofs are expensive.
Can you paint them?
I don't know, because the sun just beats directly down on there. I mean, I know you can paint metal. There's special paint for yeah. direct to metal, but I just don't know that it's going to hold up over and over with the sun beating on it, rain, potentially hail, you know, things. It's just probably best just to leave it as is and just work with it for now.
I don't know that I could work with that. I'm just going to be honest on that. I'm going to go from the assumption that it can be painted in some way, shape, or form. At least until the next hailstorm comes and it's, you know, you have to replace it. I don't mind. I like the black and white brick they got going on there.
Yeah, I don't mind that.
I would go with a black roof. I'd carry the black and white brick that we see on that one window around the entire house that same way. I would probably make, you know, then get rid of the brown on the shutters. Get rid of the brown on the shutters. Go with the... probably either a black or white on the shutters to accent it out. Probably a white, I would think I would go with on that. Make the door white or black, and then go with some heavy, deep green greenery, big leaf yeah. greenery all around the house. So it's kind of a black and white house.
It is.
Very, you know, just kind of classic-y looking, you know, almost like think tuxedo-ish kind of, you know, mm-hmm. and then the greens around the house to kind of give it some more flair and, you know, to give it some color. And that's how I would fix it up. I don't know, structurally, there's not a whole lot I think I would change. The shutters, I think, are a nice piece. Yeah. I would just fix those and paint them. It's really just a lot of paint is what you're talking about doing here.
And I think one thing you can do is add maybe a built-in, there's a built-in bricked flower bed on the front of one of the picture windows on the front of this house. Mm-hmm. If you copied something like that in front of the window where the garage has been enclosed, it's going to look less like, oh, well, that used to be where the garage door is, and I'm just going to drive right up to
yeah.
it. You kind of stop the landscaping where the sidewalk is, the front walk to the house mm-hmm. is, and try and maybe make that feel more like part of the house and not
yeah.
An enclosed garage.
I completely agree. Gail Wilson says, I think landscaping would work wonders. And yeah, I mean, that's a big mm-hmm. part of this is really getting the landscaping going, because there is nothing there
yeah.
right now on this this house. If you are listening to the podcast version of this, you can see images of this house and all the things we're talking about on the website at junkinwithjenny.com. And we invite you to submit your questions for the show through the website as well at junkinwithjenny.com or through Facebook, and we may use them on a future episode of the program. And if you're watching right now on Facebook, a lot of you are already doing it, submit your feedback. We'll read it back as we see it, and then just join in the conversation. It's funny, sometimes I get some of these comments, it's like, that's a great idea, I didn't yeah. think of that. So do join in on that. Why is the yard yellow? It's just the color of the grass. You can tell the leaves are off the trees. It's
winter. Sunny day in winter.
So that's how yards look. I think part of our yard is somewhat yellow right now. You know what I do like about this part of the country, though, being in Missouri? And it's one of those things I didn't realize. And we're at the very bottom of Missouri. So we are borderline on Arkansas.
Yeah, I joke that we're closer to Arkansas than Missouri.
I mean, it's like, what, 10 miles away?
It is.
So
as the bird flies.
We are right there. But I didn't realize that even in, winter, how green a lot of lawns can still be, even with your sprinklers off. I mean, a lot of like the golf courses and stuff around here have yellowed up, but that's kind of just what you have to do. But there's patches of our yard today. We were blowing leaves, and I actually did some gardening today.
It's, we did before the front came in.
And now it's 20-something.
Yeah, it dropped 50 degrees in 2 hours.
I wanted to be outside for that. I had work to get done, mm-hmm. but I said, you know what? I mean, I can go back in my office in the afternoon, and I can work till like 5:30, and I'm going to take this half hour in the afternoon and just experience this. Because I was watching on Facebook. They were expecting kind of an ice storm. So far, so good.
Yeah.
We haven't had the ice here yet. I know some other areas have, but they were saying, oh, the front's coming through, and there's like Facebook Live videos over in Joplin and Springfield and other areas, and they're just watching the front come in. Mm-hmm. And it literally, it dropped from like 65 today to like 25 in the matter of like a half hour.
Yeah.
And I just was sitting in a rocking chair in front of our house, and I think it's coming. And then all of a sudden, just, it doesn't get windy here very often, but all of a sudden, like, just all the trees started moving at once. And
well, I was blowing the leaves, and all of a sudden, they all started coming back at me.
Yeah.
So I turned the blower off. It's like, what's going on? And then I realized, oh, the front just came.
It's here. Yeah. And then now it's like, it's icy cold out there. You go out, you know, you breathe in, and it's just Arctic air. Mm-hmm. It's amazing how quickly that can change. My point was, I didn't realize you could have like big patches of green lawn, mm-hmm. even in the middle of winter.
Well, I think something that helps that here, you know, obviously parts of the lawns will stay green, but mm-hmm. you have a lot more evergreens in the Ozarks here. We have cedars and pine and all kinds of things that, you know, they'll drop their needles, but they come right back. But also, people don't realize magnolias are evergreen as well.
Yeah.
And we have a lot of those around here. So you see a lot of greenery in the trees and on the ground. And it's sometimes hard to tell what season it is.
Yeah. And that's the type of stuff I'd be putting in this yard, is like a magnolia, big leaf, green.
Yeah.
If this, depending on where in the country this is.
Yeah.
But that's what I'm thinking. Just big leafed, dark green plants to really work with that black and white. So there you go. One more space on today's episode, and we're looking here at a wooden floor. It looks like it was, might have been original to the home. That's kind of cool. It's still there. But basically a television setup and a TV tray and a chair, and probably somebody just using it as is before they move.
I hope so, because it's really sad. My first thought was, that's grandma with her TV and her TV tray.
Or a gamer.
I don't see any game
system. That's true. Big picture window there. And then this
old TV too.
And then this corner type fireplace that kind of, it's an odd location for it, but it juts out of the corner of the room, and there's almost two sides to it, kind of rectangular. A little bit of a rail mantle on it, but it's no real, no ornateness to it. There's no brick around it. It's just almost looks like it's all drywall around the fireplace up until where it opens up into the hearth. So looks like kind of a smaller living room area in the front of probably a bit of an older home, probably a 50s or a 60s home.
I'm guessing so. And I think what I would do, and this is going, I'm not going to say this is a cheap fix. This is going to be a little bit of a pricey fix, but I think it may be the only pricey thing you have to do to this room. I would try repositioning that fireplace still there in that corner, but maybe angle it to where it faces the room instead of straight out towards one side. Do you see what I'm saying?
No.
Make it a corner fireplace.
How would you do that?
You would have to take all the sheetrock down, and you would have to have somebody come in and help you reposition that. But I would imagine that is vented straight up through that chase there.
So you're saying you'd physically move where the hearth is and then just redirect the venting back to where the vent is?
I'm taking it from this to this.
But there's a window.
No, you won't impede the window.
You won't? Okay.
You won't impede the window. So what I'm saying is, you've got two exposed sides. You're going to have just the one front exposed sitting at a 45 degree in the corner.
Okay, I see what you're saying.
Yeah, so basically you're going to take it
reshaping it.
Yeah, you're reshaping it to a, it's a rectangle shoved in the corner. You're going to make it a triangle shoved in the corner.
Okay.
And add a heftier mantle to it, because right now it looks very pieced together.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you can make it work in that spot without being quite so awkward.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the floor looks great. I mean, obviously, you need to paint because I can't tell if it's just the resolution on the picture or if the walls are just needing a good painting and some new window treatments. I don't know what the furniture situation is. Obviously, it doesn't look like there's a whole lot.
Mm-hmm.
I think a good living room set, depending on the size of this room, would do wonders. But I'm really thinking that fireplace is going to be your biggest expense, but also your biggest payoff.
Yeah, I agree. Inflatable furniture
no.
is what I would go with on this. I'd be all inflatable all the time. Just all blow up furniture and maybe plastic as well. And then, I'm kidding.
I hated that stuff.
Did you have it?
No, but I had friends that had, oh, I got this cool blow up chair. It's like, really, are you going to go float in the lake? That's all it's good for.
And how old were they? Was this high school?
This was high school.
Okay. Yeah.
This was bad decision years.
Yeah.
So.
I like your triangle fireplace idea. I think that could really work. Another thing I guess you could do there, because the ventilation is there and that's half the battle on something like this, is I would consider doing maybe one of those almost vintagey looking, you know, almost like stove type looking fireplace type.
Oh, a stove fireplace.
Yeah.
So you would rip all that out and put in like a...
Rip it out, keep the ventilation.
A stove, okay.
You probably would need to redo the ventilation because I'm sure it's not aesthetically very pleasing, mm-hmm. but the hole is there.
Yeah.
And just get the right... And make it part of the room. Make the ventilation piping part of the actual room and then kind of make it more of a rustic kind of, in you know, rustic, you know, industrial-ish modern...
If that's
space.
Their style, that could
if
work.
If that's their style, yes.
That could work.
I could see that being kind of a fun thing to do with a fireplace because it is in such an odd place. I'm guessing this was like totally a... Was this a style at some point to put a fireplace in a place like that?
You know, I have seen where they've made brick fireplaces and usually they're a monstrosity of a fireplace where you've got the fire... actual, you know, box kind of lower in one corner and then you've got all this extra brick and mantle and hearth that just fills up the entire wall. It's almost like if they didn't do all that brickwork, this is what you would have. It in the 60s and 70s, you could have those monstrosities built like that. And now even, you know, when you see them on home shows or, you know, people remodeling, you want to kind of downsize its brick overload.
Sure.
So it's really confusing as far as how old this is.
I wonder if it was, like, it was an afterthought and like it's just best to put it over here, but I don't even know why that would be. I don't know. I'm just confused by it. But I would probably go with something like that of the stove feel. Keep the wood. You probably would, I might do like some sort of, you know, surround on the bottom, change up, you know, make some sort of a something with the flooring around the stove. Area,
yeah.
Not just the wood right there.
Oh, yeah. You'd have to do some sort of stone or tile, something that's heat resistant.
Sure. But I think I would do a mixture in this room of kind of the rustic with the modern farmhouse, which we talk about quite a bit. And I think it would just kind of be a neat mixture of a fusion of eras, if you will, in that room. And I probably would put shiplap somewhere.
You would.
There'd be an accent wall of that somewhere. I don't know where it would be because I'm curious what the other two corners of the room look like.
Sure.
But that would be kind of the style and direction I think I would go with that specific room.
That's just such a sad picture.
It is.
I'm sorry. Whoever sent that in, I really am sorry. But it just looks so sad. There's this one, not even a recliner, just like a dinner chair sitting in front of the TV with a TV tray.
You know,
that's all that's in the room.
It's probably someone who had just moved in or this was the parting shot of the house that they had.
And, I hope
was,
that's the story.
You know, what can I do with this?
Yeah.
So, but it was one of the cleanest shots.
Yeah.
Without a bunch of furniture in there. Just, here's the space. What can we do with the space?
Yeah.
I would certainly keep the drapery that's in there with a lovely little piece in the middle, just that random red piece that's hanging down.
No.
It adds so much character.
No.
There you go. What?
Just no.
Just no?
No.
Okay. Well, now we know.
How you feel on my drapery ideas. There you go. Those are the ideas for today's episode of Junkin' with Jenny. Thank you guys for chiming in and shooting your ideas around. Chris says, ooh, I agree, Jenny, to your the fireplace.
Oh, the corner fireplace.
He understood it before I did.
Okay.
He's like, oh, I agree. I'm like, what? Huh? Where? Oh, okay. I get it. I feel older every damn day.
It's okay, honey. I'm
getting slow.
You are 9 months older than I am.
I am.
And that's a big age difference.
Wait till 9 months from now. You're gonna be like, holy shit.
I know. I'm going to feel really old in 9 months.
That's how it works. All right. That wraps up today's episode of Junkin' with Jenny. Thanks, everybody, for watching and joining in. If you have, like I said, a question about anything home-related, submit it to us on our website, junkinwithjenny.com, or, of course, submit it when we do these live every single Thursday at 8 o'clock Central Time. Until next time, I'm Tony Bruschi. That's my wife, Jenny, right there. I'm pointing in the right direction.
You are.
Because you're right next to me.
It still amazes you.
Where's the camera? Yeah. Thanks for watching. We'll see you next time on Junkin' with Jenny.